Tell us a little bit more about your pair experience, Ken, because I didn't
because
have that.
Yet, because, well, Jakub couldn't figure that out.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know that you need to put in some credit card details.
I can definitely get into that here in a second. I just want to cap this off by saying that, like, in a game that's this complex with meta systems, I would expect them to go so far as to push it, maybe in the next iteration of this game, down the path of, like, a 4X social loop.
This is a no-bullshit gaming show where we talk about games and their revenue in great detail, powered by our ad monetization, game design, and user acquisition triple threat expertise. Welcome to the 2.5 Gamers, the unfiltered truth served with a side of giggles. Let's not forget this is a 4 a.m. conference discussion vibe, so let's not take it too seriously. Tune in now. And stay 2.5
no
steps ahead of the
UA.
Gaming
yeah,
industry.
No, you as usual, you can go last. Nobody cares. It's fine.
We'll look at the silly creatives later.
Yeah. I can put in post production, whatever. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the 2.5 Gamers, and we have a special guest today again because we had a lot of fun with Ken last time when we were talking about Ball Stars. And he is also a guy who can actually talk with Jakub about the game design and product stuff. Right? But before we start, my name is Matija Lančević.
I'm Felix Broberg.
We are your hosts. And as I mentioned, welcome, Ken. Welcome again.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, what are you talking about today? Legend of Mushroom. We teased it in our Slack and fucking killing it everywhere. It was live, I mean, like outside of US for a while, right? And yep. Now they did a Western launch, and oh my God, they are getting, earning a lot of money.
Legend of Mushroom go brrrr.
Yeah. Actually, how we got known about the game was the Korean Sensor Tower article, if I remember correctly.
And, can you remind me who actually sent this to our group?
You know? Said this.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. It's fine.
Yeah, so if you translate it, it actually pretty much says that, like, Legend of Mushrooms hit number one in South Korea, which is kind of unheard of, especially where, you know, there's still lineage dominance there, and it's kind of very heavy still. Like,
yeah, but
that's South Korea for all, you know, reasons and purposes. But yeah, the game's grossing very, very high there. And we'll get to it, how it actually kind of got there, where we are. Yeah. So it was released somewhere in November 23rd, 2023 last year. And now it's scaled all the way to something like 2.5 million IP revenue only. There's
a day.
There's a substantial amount of ad revenue on top of it, but like it scaled like crazy. And download-wise, you could see, I think this is, let's do countries filter. Yeah, this is the Western release somewhere at the start of March. This is the Japan one.
Can you drop the name of the Legend of Mushroom in what is South Korean or where is it to our chat?
Which one?
Yeah, the name of the game, because, you know, the fun fact is when you're trying to actually search for it in Sensor Tower, you can't.
It's physically impossible.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Now it's possible because it's a Western release now. But before, you had to go with the Korean name. Yes, you're right. That's there. But yeah, let's.
No, even right now, if you like just now like try to search for it, Legend of Mushroom, it's not there.
But it's there now. Now it's there. Like you see it. Oh, here. Nice. There's yeah, like that.
Their icon has the Pepe Frog in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Jesus Christ. Genius. That's crazy.
Yeah. All the memes you can get.
So now it's under like also like Western release now. You see that like whatever at the start there was like 80k downloads from US. Now it's something like 20k a day. But overall, if you look at it, they're still doing like 200k downloads a day. So pretty strong. Still already somewhere past like, I don't know, $125 million in IP revenue and something like 10 million downloads. Still, a lot less downloads than I would expect now, but again, they're just scaling in the West. This whole kind of thing where they started in South Korea from like end of December was kind of, I would say, trial period a little bit. But then you see how it scaled now. Yeah.
Can you put Legend of Slime next to this on the launch?
That's the other thing. We'll be talking a lot about our other favorite game from our friends from Loud Complain, which is Legend of Slime.
Which is no longer managed by them, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's now sitting on AppQuantum's account. And this game was actually released, or let's say soft launch, in June 2022. Then it hit its peak some around February last year, and then it went on a little bit of decline, but still going strong with something like, I don't know, 35k IP revenue a day, which I would multiply by. Matt is clicking.
Yeah.
So yeah, I will talk a little bit more about Legend of Slime, but this other game, if I understand correctly, The Legend of Mushroom, is what, like 4 months old? Yeah. So it's quite an achievement, actually, because I think this is the second podcast in a row now that we are talking about the game that's making 2.5 million a day.
And this game's gamers talking about gaming.
This game is actually making more than the previous one, the last 4 one, because last one didn't have ads. These have ads on top of it. So my guess is it's like 3+ million.
So please, our listeners, if you know about game that makes 2.5 million a day, please let us know.
Yeah.
We don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, definitely. That's there. Shall we go to the games then?
Which games?
Yeah, because if we look at it, and I'll do a very fast kind of rundown of it.
Oh, history lesson.
Yeah, not history lesson. It's literally like it's there and this is also there.
Where are your cucumber glasses? I was hoping you'd have your cucumber glasses.
No, I don't have cucumber glasses anymore. I have this whatever mask there. Yeah. So the thing is that some features are literally taken one to one from these two games. Like,
you open the game like Legend of Mushroom, is like, wait a second, these Legends of Slime.
Yeah.
But
like, don't get me wrong, this is not a blatant copy. It's like they copied the core and the solid kind of baseline of the game, but they improved where I think it's very, very smart improvement. Because if you look at let's say the pet power progression layer, it's basically the same. Like, there's literally nothing to it. If you look at the skill progression layer, again, it's literally the same. If we look at, let's go to these kind of alternative game modes, again, literally the same. They even don't bother even changing the icons. It's literally the same icons. Like, the keys has the same icons. If I go, where I was there, the relic thing here, yeah, this thing, like, you see this fork icon currency. So if we go here into, this one. Yeah, this is again the same, another power progression layer. But the relic was, where was the relic? Always forgot that one.
That's why you didn't even play the game properly.
Too many things. Yeah.
Click on the book.
Yeah, there's the right. Thanks, Ken. So see, the fork icon is literally the same. So they went like one to one, didn't even bother with changing the visuals. Mm. But what's really important between these two games, and there's two major distinctions that we can talk about in more detail, is that they changed the very core of the game a little bit, because
There is core and there is very core?
Yeah. This is literally very cool, because both are idle RPGs, but the thing is
hardcore.
Yeah, super hardcore.
That Legend of Slime has the, let's say, the very, very kind of old school.
Very, very core?
Yeah,
very, very core. Very core, very core, and very, very core.
Okay. You upgrade specific parameters with these currencies that go to gazillions, like literally 11.6H or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's like the core of idle, like adventure capitalism and stuff like that. Like, that was the old idle core. These guys took it and put literally one progression layer, which is the equipment behind it, and it's about opening gacha forever. Like, the whole thing is based about this magic lamp, which is basically a gacha that you're opening forever. And at some point, it gets automated, and you select which kind of a, let's say, the... Where's the auto button? Yeah, here it is. You select which kind of a rarity you don't even want to bother with.
Yeah.
And it only informs you or stops the game when you actually roll a rarity that you're looking for. Or you can roll it for like specific stat or whatever. But once you press it, the whole thing kind of automates itself. Like
yeah,
it should.
But you can't press anything else because
you
that
can.
Was my... Well, yeah.
You can,
was,
but you
I
cannot press the lamp.
On the, yeah, yeah, you can't click on the lamp. It's like, I put it like on auto cell. I was like, what the fuck? Why is it not working?
Yeah.
This little guy actually showed me like, ah, but you can't click
but
on
this.
My, yeah.
This is very important, like, critical iteration where it's much more streamlined.
Yeah, because you put phone on the table and it kind of plays.
But you don't need to choose these things because here you need to choose like where should I spend my resources, this or that or whatever. Here it's very simple because the moment a better gear arrives, there's even a confirmation button like, do you really want to get rid of this better gear? They literally have it in. So it's very streamlined, which I think is much better onboarding experience. You don't really need to go through all these things. Then the rest of the game is pretty much the same. We don't like we can talk about it a little bit, but I don't think so. It's kind of that needed.
That important.
The important part is the social part. Because they have social, Legend of Slime doesn't have social features, which I think is the killer iteration that they did there. And
thank you very much for listening.
And by the way, if you listen to a podcast about Legend of Slime, that was the point why I said I don't give Legend of Slime 10 out of 10 because one point was deducted because they didn't have any social features.
Ooh, which means this is going to get... Ooh, well, let's see what kind of rating this is going
to
get.
Yeah, so I guess we're going to talk a little bit about it more. But yeah, I would like to give Ken a little bit more space when I'm just rambling all the time.
Yeah, I agree with literally... 99% of the things Jakob is saying.
Let's talk about the 1%.
Yeah, that's important. 1%.
I mean, like, I just want to reiterate, I think it's great that they reduce the decision fatigue on upgrading specific stacks of gear. And they've obviously done a great job with providing a super wide dearth of progression verticals. I mean, players have a huge amount of things to do throughout the first week of gameplay. You know, I think there's 10 different very clear progression verticals that they can hit, but that's, again, same for Legend of Slime or whatever, the other game that's based off of. So long as, like, the social side of it, I would say that where I somewhat disagree or where I feel like I might start disagreeing is that it still feels very juvenile to me. Like, when I look at systems that are this deep, and this is a very, like, meta system deep game, I would expect the social systems to also be very, very deep. And in my opinion, it's still quite a light social game. Like, the guild that I'm in is, I think, similar progression to Jakob's. Like, we're level 4 or level 5. It's literally all the whales on our server are in this one. But there's not that many benefits, I would say, to being in our guild right now. We can be targeted by our own guild members in PvP. Mm-hmm. They can raid us still for, like, our resources. So there's, like, some weird trade-offs to being in that guild. The only benefits, really, are that there's some, like, custom rewards you can get inside of guild versus guild. There's some shop level up that you can get. So, like, some basic, like I would say really basic rewards. If you're a payer, these rewards mean nothing to you. And then there's some
family shop is kind of cheating.
Yeah, but the Yaku is not a payer, so, you know, he needs to grind.
Yeah.
Get this.
Tell us a little bit more about your payer experience, Ken, because I didn't have that.
Yaku couldn't figure that out.
He doesn't know that you need to put in some credit card details.
I can definitely get into that here in a second. I just want to cap this off by saying that, like, in a game that's this complex with meta systems, I would expect them to go so far as to push it, maybe in the next iteration of this game, down the path of, like, a 4x social loop, where they start really managing their shards and taking guilds like mine and putting them on a 4x map. You know, like, we've been talking in previous podcasts about how games bait and switch you from these types of loops into really deep combat loops from, like, 4x games. This feels like a good game to do that with. Everybody in my guild is, like, primed to do that. They're spending $10,000, $15,000 within the first week and a half to 2 weeks, the top payers in my guild. And they would definitely continue to smash each other against other server shards, you know, in the same like regards. So I think that's the type of place I see this game going. Right now, it still feels super shallow to me. I know that it's a big evolution against Legend of Slime, but there's still a long way to go.
Question. Usually clones don't make as much money. Is it just the social features you'd say that is driving this value, or would you say it's something else?
It's not the clone.
I,
It's so calm.
I didn't. Actually, I barely played Legend of Slime. I have it on my phone, and I played like a week worth. So I don't know the merchandising in Legend of Slime very well. I was going to go into some of the merchandising in Legend of Mushroom, which is phenomenal. And I think there's really strong sides of it, and there's a few, like, I would say, problem areas that I wanted to call out. So I'll just go into that now if you guys want.
Yeah, go ahead.
So first off, the game will have like super strong shark fin. So the merchandising in the game is meant so that you have really strong upfront pay design, where like if you guys would remember when you got into the game, there'll be like three different offers core gear pieces, like a headpiece, a weapon, and another headpiece. Those three pieces of gear will carry your character all the way to level 50, and you're basically trained from those first initial very cheap purchases that buying power gets you super far. And they tie that back into the first social unlock system, so like leaderboard system that they have in the game. If you've basically bought any of those three purchases, you will rocket you up the PvP leaderboard, will rocket you up the progression, what's it called, like the level up leaderboard that they have in the game. And then they have those same three purchases for like every single progression vertical in the game. They have a really bad gacha design. So they have two,
which gacha?
Paid gacha. Sorry, the pals and the skills. So mm-hmm. when I think of a really strong gacha design, I think back to like Genshin Impact, where when I buy a single, when I unlock a single 5-star character, that 5-star character unlocks a whole new level of gameplay for me. I can play the game in new ways. I know exactly how much money I have to spend to get that character. Buying another 5-star character like synergizes with that first one in new, unique gameplay ways. This game fucking sucks. Like I've probably pulled on this thing like 700,000 times, and I could not tell you what the value is. Like I know that numbers go up, but I can't point to how much. I don't know, like, should I spend $1,000 in here or $5,000 in here? Because it doesn't feel like they're that consequential to me. I would much rather just go into the store and buy $100 worth of gems for some other progression vertical, because these two things do not map well to power progression at all to me.
They have the, like, I call it like the shard system of Clash Royale, where you're not going from like very rare big swings of like, I get this 5-star character from Genshin Impact. It's more of a like you gradually get small amounts of power all the time. All the legendaries, all everything, but just very small. And the thing is that in the end, it's just not a like increasing number power progression layer with nothing exciting in it, I would say. Which, yeah, sounds like bad gacha design from this angle.
Yeah. And there's, like I mentioned earlier, there's like 10 plus different power progression verticals in the game. Mm. And every single one of them has a battle pass. Every single one. Yep. And each of those battle passes, there's three variants of it. You know, there's a free and then two paid variants of it. There's a button to remove ads. So you can, I think it's like $9, and you can remove every single ad point in the game, which is great. I pay for that one as like a super clear value offer. But I would expect in a game that has 4 monthly subscriptions for that ad removal to be a monthly subscription too. So like a 5th monthly subscription. There's literally already 4 monthly subs in the game. Put that as a monthly
like
sub.
To remove ads forever. It's like remove ads for 30 days. Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put it $3.99 and make it like a monthly one. They have a custom shopping cart, which is also like whale targeting. But they also have really, really poor upselling strategy. So like I will have spent $40 on a pack of gems, and then they never target me with a custom bundle for $40 ever again.
You mean like price segmentation?
Doesn't exist. They have a web shop, and they promote me to go to that web shop once a week through like a red badge. But that's it. There's no like great deals there. I think there's maybe like a 10% haircut. I can't remember the exact value offer, but there's only one person in my guild who goes and uses that, which sucks, even though like everybody in my guild is like 10,000 plus vendors.
Yeah, there should be like 90% of the guild going to web shop and just purchase for there.
Yeah. So all this to say is like the way that they've designed their offers, the how deep they are, how frequent or how many there are, they're basically shoving all this value really, really early in the gameplay, and they don't do a great job of spreading out that value long-term and showing you the long-term value. All of it is showing you how to kind of progress as fast as possible into the leaderboards, into, you know, the PvP leaderboard, the level up leaderboard, the guild leaderboards, and so on. And there's this like core player motivation of do the thing first, right? Like there's this, even these like these prizes that you get inside of your newsfeed for being the first person on your server to reach like Apocalypse 5 or whatever. That is the core player motivation of this game. So you are incentivized to do the monetization soon, quick, now. And why, that's one of the big reasons why I feel like this game is going to have a really poor long-term monetization without additional player motivations for long-term spend. They need to have more guild versus guild events that kind of reward that that spend long-term. Right now, the only like week over week spending that I can see that they're doing for me and my guild is these new like mount events that they have, where inside the mount system and the artifact system, they'll have these. I don't know if you want to go to advance. Yep. There, yeah. So these are these like custom mounts that you can only get through the event system, and you have to be like the top three players on your server shard to get one of these things. And that means basically you've had to have spent, I don't know, on our server, it's like $5,000 plus an event, which again, poor monetization design, because if I'm willing to spend $300, but not $5,000, I can't get shit. It's a weird design, but it's going to do well. It's just going to shark fin quite heavily. And yeah, that's kind of like my thoughts there on that monetization side. I don't know how much of that tracks, Jacob, back to Legend of Slime, but it feels like they've done a good job. It's just going to be very front heavy.
You mean like the offer strategy of Legend of Slime compared to this?
Yeah.
I would say Legend of Slime by its baseline is much more skewed toward ads, because they have some of the things that, for instance, this one.
Well, this kind of, there's still like 70% IIPs, 30% ads.
Yeah, I know. But like still, like they have these like cumulative ads. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, Legend of Mushroom is definitely less than Legend of Slime. That's my guess. But yeah, I can't really comment on the like that, because I'm not that like into paying things.
No worries.
I was gonna say that, like, things that Remo has never said. Well, when I made a purchase.
I have like 100 plus or whatever, like Path of Exile or like player account or whatever. Like that's like what's my kind of thing. But I always try to see free to play experience anyway here.
Everybody says nobody cares about Path of Exile. We are, this is the game we're talking about.
Just wait until they release the second DLC. want to finish like few things here. Like for me, this kind of I know it's kind of super primitive, but for me, this is like genius what they did here with this farm thing. You're growing your crops, and you can go and steal other people's crops. Literally go there and then have this kind of thief, and it also happens there that if you log into your game, you literally log into your farm and there's this thief character sitting there, and you need to either win a fight against him or call your friends or call your guild to kick him out, otherwise he steals your crops.
Nice.
So this is
somebody was stealing my resources from my crop, and I called my guild to defeat them, because it was somebody that was like more powerful than me.
Yeah.
And our most powerful player came in, kicked him out, and then started stealing my resources. And I was like, shit, what am I supposed to do about that?
This is the thing. Like, I don't get this. Like, okay, like this whole mechanic makes sense and everything, but like most of the things that I go to steal is from my friend list, actually.
Yeah.
Like all the people that went through me through this other mode where it's like cooperative and you random matchmaking with people, like all my friends, I can like see their, you know, they're offline, I can go into their farm and like steal their shit and stuff. Yeah, it's very interesting. But for me, the other good thing they did here is that the guild thing is no longer a list, it's a map. So you can show off your stuff, you can have that social status, you know, skin thing there, which is very old schoolish, but you don't see it these days anymore. You just see lists. Like in all the games that I played in like last half a year, there was never a social feature with like this kind of shared space. I think that they did it very good. Say that, especially after we covered like 4 4Xs in a row on this podcast. I could definitely see this going into some kind of like 4X functionality. The other functionality they took from 4X already, by the way, is the timer helper mechanic, which is really good. That the whole guild pretty much can help you on timers, where there's like research timers, building timers, crops timers, whatever timers, and everybody can shape those like the typical 4X thing. and the guild is very, very pushy. Like, I literally have people like here in my chat messaging me that like we're I think it's just today, like, hey, you could also donate in the family, good rewards for you and everyone else. Literally.
Jesus.
So people are very, very pushy. Yeah. So yeah,
I already mentioned during the weekend, like, oh my god, I need to play Legend of Mushroom, because they will kick me out for like 2 days of no activity. Yeah. It's like, okay,
that's what literally written in our guild, like, AFK 2 days is a kick.
Yeah.
There. Yeah.
Well, so, remember to donate daily, Jakub.
Yeah. I need to
help the family. Come on, man.
I would say that one of the gameplay things I think they need to improve on is they need to A/B test the when to unlock the auto lamping.
It's too late.
I have a few friends who I was like, you need to play this game to do some research on the monetization. And they're like, this fucking lamp selection thing is like super annoying.
It's super annoying.
It unlocks after like, I don't know, level 10 or something like that. It should unlock at like level 3, but they need to A/B test that.
Guys, what do you think the session length is for this game?
Obscenely long?
Yeah. I would say so.
Giant.
I literally leave mine on all day. I have like a wireless charging stand here in front of me, and it's just going on all day because I have like 20,000 lamps I have to open up. Yeah, Jakob's got 13,000. That's what we discussed.
There was like, how can you even like spend them all?
You just leave it playing. That's it.
You can unlock. Go back to your auto button and click on the.
Oh, there's you
click
can
on
yeah,
the one. You can increase the number from that's one true. To
yeah,
can, like
yeah,
four.
Go yeah, down. By the way, yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Go to six.
Oh man, this is life changing.
No, I saw that, but the lamp was like number like it unlocks after level of 4 or 5, and I was like, oh my god, one more.
Awesome. There you go. The pricing here at this level of lamp, by the way, I think just click on the 16 there.
Yeah.
So 939,000 gold. That is roughly like $90. An IAP just to buy that much gold to go up 1/5 of a level.
Yeah, well,
yeah. And it still won't give you the next rarity this time.
That's insane. Yeah, so things are very expensive, you know, once you get past like the first week of progression.
Yeah, but by the way, one other thing I think I don't have it here. Let me show you because I think I took a screenshot. Did you see how the like asynchronous Dota event that they built in the Clan Wars thing? I think that was. That was really good.
The three lanes?
Yeah, the three lanes. So basically what these guys built is pretty much an async Dota where you have three lanes, you put your whatever character in one of those trees, like all the guild pretty much puts it there, and then it goes in these series of asynchronous battles against the enemy clan. And after winning three battles in a row, you get penalty. So you wouldn't like destroy everything in one character. It's like pretty much like an endurance thing, I would say. And if you win two of the three lines, you win the whole thing, and there's just giant rewards. And there this feature has the special shop, which the special shop only is the sole source of some of those. I don't know if I get there. Yeah, I can get there. Some of those other spells, which are like whatever Dragon Resonance event based one and stuff like that. So there's a little bit of like carried on a stick within the social layer, but yeah, I don't think so. It's like enough, as Ken said, like it could be fleshed out much more. Like usually games would lock the really end game things here, and it would be like the sole purpose of going this way, like no other way around it, and just like you need to go this way, otherwise you know your shit. So that's
can we move on to Admon, because I know it's going to finish with the argument me versus Ken.
One last thing, really just want to kind of cover like literally 1 minute. The events that they're running, I think, again, it's a little bit of improvement from Legend of Slime, because they have three types of events, which is the trigger events. Basically, we track how you play and we give you rewards based on that. Very simple one, recycle one. Then there's like start from scratch, which is currently done here through this like live simulator, which is pretty much a simplified version of the whole game where you like select stuff, select everything, and you just play in this, you know, ladder-based difficulty on a timer. Again, same as Legend of Slime. But the third one, which is not currently running, I can't show it, but it's pretty much like gacha, and it's like just opening gachas, and you have like 3 to 4 pools for like free-to-play user, and then you need to pay all the time. Like you, from these events, you don't get shit. Like you couldn't
play those events.
I could play it all day long. I couldn't even engage with the event. It's just like you need to pay in order to play this event. Yeah.
Yep. That's how you get custom like character skins, custom mount skins.
Yeah.
Everything.
Exactly. Like the whole thing that people are just, let's say, sitting here, like hold all the airplanes or whatever. It's just like yeah, it's there.
But there's like exactly a motorcycle. There's like a candy gun.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So the event thing is literally cutthroat regarding this last kind of type of event. Yeah, you can go, Felix.
Yeah. So for me, like, I think also always like a big tell is where the game is made is always if you see anything relating to a durian fruit in the game. Because no one in the West knows what the fuck a durian fruit is. So as soon as I went in the shop,
and I saw like
a durian, durian bomb in the shop, I was like, game is not made for the West or in the West because no one knows what it is. It's a smelly fruit that tastes really good that you can eat on the subways in Korea, Singapore, or anywhere in Asia.
Yeah,
because they smell too bad. But they taste delicious. Either way, I played to level 17. Game made me giggle a lot. Cucumber glasses were a favorite. And the random shit you throw is hilarious. The similarities to Legend of Slime are uncanny, but it's also different in so many major ways when it comes to the ad monetization. Because there's a lot of rewarded ad placements. Welcome back, Magic Lamp upgrade, away from keyboard boost, 3 extra draws on the Pals of Skills. Yeah. And usually they're stackable, so you can watch them 2 or 3 times in a row, which helps a lot to get impressions up. But there's one big major flaw compared to Legend of Slime, because there's no real urgency to watch
I never watched an ad. It's like, why would I do that? Fuck.
You run out of resources. That's the only urgency.
You run out of resources. So there's no real urgency, right? So basically, that's my biggest issue with this, right? So, yeah. Like, I would argue probably that there's a welcome back booster the spins maybe account for 70 to 80% of the impressions. But the ad viewer rate on this game, I would say, is way lower than what we saw on Legend of Slime. Probably only around 35, maybe 40%. Like, I would argue here, like the core gameplay, at least in the start, is a bit similar to Idle. So if they want to earn more ad revenue, they need to have an ad placement set front and center that actually makes sense, like a button. But they don't. So how many ads did you guys watch? I mean, Ken doesn't because he pays. But Jakub, how many ads did you
all
watch?
All of those. Like 40 per day.
Why?
Because you run out of resources. You want to move forward.
Yeah, but it's annoying. I mean, it's...
You play the other game in the meantime on the emulator.
Oh, of course. You play the other game, okay. Good for you.
Anyway, so ad viewer rate, I think, is around like 35-45%. 35-40%. But since most ad placements are stacked, probably what's happening is that the users who are watching quite a lot of ads when that is happening. So I think probably the impressions per DAU is maybe around 5 or 6. So in the last 30 days, Sensor Tower says 500,000 DAO on average in the user. That's making 6.3 million in the last 30 days in IAPs. So I've had to increase the ECPM average for that because obviously it's going to get higher on.
Mad meme here.
Yeah. So that means that this game is making about 55 to 60K a day from rewarded ads. Or 1.8 million a month, or about 27%. So if you take into account the sadness multiplier, probably that would be closer to 20, I would say.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to come to the part where probably I'm going to make Jakub and Ken's ears bleed, but just hear me out here. So if I was managing this game, the first thing I would ask to do is to try to integrate banner ads, because exactly what Ken said before, the session lengths on this game are absolutely wild. The audience spends time playing on autoplay and grinds. Exactly. Just keeps the phone down.
You have the phone on the table. Point. Nobody cares.
Yeah. For non-purchasers, take the event when most purchases are made, and everyone who doesn't watch a lot of rewarded ads and doesn't make any IAPs, you call them like the useless segments.
Yeah.
And basically after a while you start showing banner ads, right? So basically that's where you'd have the combination of Jakub and Matej, because Matej didn't watch any rewarded ads and Jakub didn't make any purchases.
Yeah.
So basically low revenue driving users, and you start showing them banner ads. So I did the math on this. So I think you could probably show at least 160 or 200 banner impressions on average, which probably is a bit low for this segment. But if that's 40% of the users, that would mean about 14 to 20K a day in additional ad revenue from a segment that's not really driving that much revenue, which is almost like $500,000 a month in additional ad revenue.
And you know what? Nobody cares because they make $2.5 million a day.
But mate,
this is not significant enough. And it really, I mean, like here, like, but, look at this, like the gameplay. Like, first of all, like, where would you put this?
Bottom.
And isn't there like bottom. So many things anyway? Like, it's like fucking chaotic.
Mate, fuck that, man. Like, I refuse that to be an argument because I'm sorry, but $5 or $6 million a year, like, there's no studio that says no to that. That's just retarded.
Oh, yeah, there are so many studios. I think there's one in Finland. I'm not sure. Maybe even more. And like right. they make 5 million like, in 2 days. Who
no,
the fuck
I'm saying
cares?
Segmented. I'm saying segmented. That's all I'm saying.
So let me get this straight. So you're saying they're making 60K to compared to 2.5 million,
yeah.
And they should
nothing.
Do this.
Yeah,
just think about the engineering work that they
yeah, exactly.
One A/B test and they just increase the IAP revenue by 10% and already make more money. You know.
Wait. On Switch Tower, it said this game made $6.2 million a month.
$6.2 million a month with what?
Of in the last 30 ad? Days. In the last 6 days. 30 days.
Because it's going like this. So yeah, maybe it's less. But, you know, keep in mind if they stay at 2.5 a day, it's like it's going to be a completely different picture next month.
Yeah. Come on.
So...
I think my guild is $2.5 million, man.
like
the VIP guild.
I'm sorry here, but like, yeah, what you're saying makes sense.
Yeah.
But not
sense.
For this game.
Exactly.
That's I would end up here because like, if you just do like a, I don't know, quarter of what Ken just said with the paying part, then you know I guarantee that there would be an increase in ARPDAU. And there you go. Like your whatever banners would be diluted by the first number that
I'm sorry,
would show up on
implementing
them.
Banners in a segmented way takes less than half a day.
I know what you mean, but it's just insignificant because you're talking about teams' capacity.
I refuse that because it's such a dumb argument. So much money
it's,
still on the table.
No,
like,
it's, not, it's like opportunity cost, man.
It's opportunity cost.
Yeah. That's it. It's opportunity cost, nothing else.
But how many of these A/B tests that you run actually end up making more money usually? This is guaranteed. It's quite simple.
I know it's guaranteed, but think about other A/B tests that you could run instead, which could make 10 times more money.
So we agree that more money is better than less money?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, definitely.
But do we agree that more money is better than less money on the same time?
Agree to disagree. I yield the rest of my time.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, like we talked about this for like a million times before. I mean, if you say, oh, they could earn potentially $500,000 a day more thanks to banners, I'd say, yeah, 100%. But it's just like 50K, 60K per day. Like, come on.
Man, like one thing, like I get what you're saying. I you know, all good. The thing is, you never went through these troubles yourself as a developer. Like all the SDKs crashing your app, your developers being fucking furious about it, community people being completely outraged by the ads that are being shown, blah, blah, blah. Things are, you know, you from your perspective, like people implement it and charts go up, of course. But, you know, you don't see all the troubles, the QA and everything that goes into it. That's the thing here.
I mean, don't touch UA, dude. Like, why are you making
QA?
For...
QA.
QA. QA. Nobody cares about QA.
Nobody cares about UA.
I know.
Nobody cares about UA.
Yeah,
thank
I know.
You.
That's
I know. Enough for this week.
Yeah, thank you much. Okay, bye. No, I know Ken needs to leave as well. So I think, like, we can we can leave it at QA. Nobody cares about QA. No, yeah. So anything else we want to discuss? Regarding ads, yeah, exactly. Ads, your game design.
What do you guys think about the current rewarded placements? Because like, I don't really see a point in watching them. Like that's the major issue.
I think that if they really wanted to, they could slice off one of the 10 progression verticals and put it behind a rewarded video, and then that would be meaningful for people that actually want to watch them. And they could do that without drastically cutting into their IAP revenue because they just have so many freaking progression verticals. They could do that. That's what I would do if I really wanted to push on it. Probably whatever like the lowest risk version of that is.
Yeah, that's basically what exactly Legend of Slime has. They had one of these production vehicles completely behind ads because it's on a timer. So you need to watch 3 ads and all of those just give you bonuses for 20 minutes. Yeah, so guys doing Legend of Mushroom, if you're listening, you exactly know what to do now.
Yeah, of course.
Well, just take the Century Games model for our style.
Before you run away, can you give us your rating for the game? What you give it?
I'm going to steal Jakob's rating from the last game. I'll give it a 9. I won't do that. I'll give it an 8.5. I would give them another half a star for if they improve their gacha. And I would give them a full star if they had a better social loop. I like that the progress they made versus Legend of Slime on social, but they have a long way to go there still. So, yeah, something like a 4X meta system, and there would be just the gravy on top.
Yeah, they would make a lot more money per day.
A lot more. And it would be much more sustainable, which is, I think, the key here. Because these guys are going to do great for a month or two. I want to like maybe come back in a month or two and see how the game's doing. Yeah.
I'm definitely going to do that. Yeah.
Thanks for having me on, folks. I got a dip.
Enjoy. Thanks for staying. See ya.
We can check the UA. We can check the UA.
Alone at last.
Nah, we can check the UA. It's going to be quite quick. Well, actually, Ken gave us a few UA screenshots because they are apparently showing some ads in the US on Twitter. Yeah, I was like, what? It says a lot because nobody fucking cares about Twitter. Just by the way. But yeah, they're kind of having you know who Gengar. Is this? Oh, nice. Gengar. You had to Google it, right?
No, I didn't think Gengar was my favorite Pokemon. Rude.
But it's only because Jakub had a t-shirt of Gengar in Istanbul and you were talking about it.
There he is.
It's like, yeah, what's happening? Oh, now I see it. Yeah.
See? Nice. Yeah, Gengar see. Right there.
There's the Gengar right there. Okay. So for our fans, Jakub just showed us his Gengars figurines.
Small part of his figure collection.
Yeah, small part. But then they have also, you know who is this?
Buzz Lightyear, really?
Yeah.
Fake Buzz Lightyear with mushroom head.
And wait a second. You know who is this?
Oh, man. Mushroom Vader.
Yeah. They're Mushroom Vader and like a lot of different shit. And obviously we have goddess level whatever.
Waifus.
With, waifus. And tits and everything. And then we have also.
Oh, really?
Star Wars. Yeah, they're kind of.
Star Wars Volker.
It's only mobile. You get away with this.
It's. No, man. Like, it's. You can't get away with this. It's the Twitter. It's only because of Twitter. They don't know anything.
You couldn't do these things on Steam or whatever. Like, the moment you have this, you're down.
Really? Okay. I mean, fair enough. I guess we can check this because what we were talking about that happened somewhere here, right? It's like end of February. It's that the western part of the launch, and now also like they launched Japan. Oh my fucking god, Japan is now like killing it. It's like 1.5 million a day in Japan on these spikes. It's like wow, it's quite a lot.
Impressive.
But then you know, like from here onwards, or since here onwards, like the US is kind of like going up. So you know, like it's end, like beginning of March, US already on the third spot in terms of the revenue. So it's Japan, South Korea, US, and then Taiwan, Germany.
Put the stack icon there. You can see it much better there.
Whatever. But yeah, okay, it's true.
Wow.
So now it's also like you know. Here they added Japan just like end of February, and then they added the rest of the world basically. So like March, and then US, Taiwan, Germany, France, and other European countries. So that's why only now it's kind of starting to look interesting from like our perspective, because now way more people actually know like this game exists. When we first looked into the article from Sensor, like, what the fuck is happening here? Like, we have no idea what this is. And they're like, oh, wait, we can actually play this. All right, let's try now. Because you're quite surprised, like, this game made so many revenues, and like, okay, like, where is this?
It's literally compared to Legend of Slime, it's 10 times more during its peak on IAP site only.
Yeah. Well, according to Sensor Tower, and also like in Sensor Tower, I don't see the Twitter creatives. Some of you we might be missing something, but they are apparently running basically everywhere. Like all the channels you can get, they're live on them, except Facebook. They have very small.
Why is that, you think?
Because they are from Asia and they don't really know how to manage this. But it's very true that they have some funny creatives, honestly. And we'll get there. Look at this.
What?
Yes.
There's literally a red Angry Bird in their creative.
Red Angry Bird, yes. And it's, it's not in the US, right? So there's, they don't fucking care. They don't really care. So it's
that
like,
was One Piece.
Where is this based?
I don't know, man.
China?
Like China, most probably.
I think China.
Yeah, I think China. So they're running like every country, basically. But if we go to US, which is interesting. And
so I just saw their One Piece, the anime guy.
Yeah. So again, like all static images and oh my God. Again.
Buzz Lightyear from Toy Story.
Yeah. Sorry. But.
Whoa.
Can you see, like, that was...
It was Iron Man.
Yeah, exactly. So they are kind of doing all of these interesting IP copies, Star Wars and everything. But this is not a video. Legend of Mushroom, get 3,000 consecutive
free drops. Why it was so high-pitched, the voice?
it was Legend of Slime almost.
Yeah.
So this like all.
Hey, I'm making mushrooms for dinner.
It's like UGC types of videos as well.
Now you can play with mushrooms.
And this is Instagram. It's like what?
My God.
You know, I just love video games where progress is key.
I mean, these.
And it's all about leveling up.
Only thing like they didn't do is just check the creative strategy from Legend of Slime. If they did, like, they would do way better on creatives. And I'm not saying
I can't hear what you're saying at all because it was going.
Oh yeah, sorry. And I'm not saying that would be because I did a lot of those creatives, but it just doesn't fit. It just doesn't fit. It's like, look at
this game gives players nothing.
Wow, 3D?
Exactly. Like, why? And this kind of 3D is like...
This looks like World of Warcraft.
Exactly. It's like, it's... Yeah. But they get like, they're kind of going most probably for different types of audience with this, maybe. But this won't do the trick for like the sweet spot of CPIs and ROI afterwards. Just this will definitely have way.
How did they build this? Like, did they build this, like a separate game for this creative? Like, this is literally like a different platform, not a different gameplay.
Yeah, nobody cares. Like, they just this is just like different creative, and like it kind of goes into the same. There was some kind of fun at the end. But you see like another UGC and it's like it's not even interesting. Like, what the fuck is this?
Who's this guy?
Yeah, exactly.
He's fake for sure. Equipment
upgrades. It's your own unique mushroom warrior. This is the adventure. You can't be fake and have like a leather cap. Play today. Get 3,000 consecutive draws. But they also like say three thousand free draws, and it's just like bullshit.
They have that in the game.
They have it in the game, but can't mention it. It's like it's. They advertise something else, and they get all the 3,000. This is kind of good because this is like day one versus day 30 kind of level of progression in the creatives, which this is from a tier 4 battle axe mushroom in just 3 days, combat power 10 million. Cartoon. How did you get so strong?
This game, AFK for a while, and you get thousands of divine lamps. Just need a few taps, it's not your favorite.
Maybe if you turn the volume a little bit down, we could speak a little bit.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. I'm like, that volume is quite low for me, so it's fine.
Of course, I don't want to have your ears anymore.
Yeah, true. Fair enough. No, it's like, that was Facebook, man. Like, it's like, it's so, so weird. And,
is it even more weird in South Korea or Japan? Are they, like, localized?
I will get there, don't worry. I will get there. and you see like all networks, right? And it's mainly Unity, and there is like a little bit of uploading. It's like, guys, like I'm pretty sure, like if you know how to run, or if you are kind of skilled in UA, you just have to have way more uploading budget, man. Like Legend of Sly was like fucking killing it uploading, and even on Google, it was like
maybe
so
not
big.
Mediating on, maybe they're not mediating on Macs,
which means nothing. They can still run a lot of IIP campaigns. This game makes a lot of money on IIPs. And it, as Ken mentioned, they're kind of front loading all the payments, and like it's strong on day one, day two, or maybe even day zero, which means a lot of signals. So uploading campaigns in like on day zero IIPs, like this, man, I can imagine like this works so well, so well. And you have all the, like this, like, I don't know, like this end card, which is, I don't know, load like different characters there, right? It's like it's not even interesting.
Sorry, but
this is good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No volume.
No, I don't know. Like, don't worry, I won't. But this is this is funny. But it's like, okay, maybe.
But this works like on default for gacha games, doesn't it? That you advertise that you have a lot of free gacha pools. I see it all the time.
You can do it in a way that it's actually in the end card, you know, like saying like main thing in the concept.
Because then like, it's kind of like, literally the whole concept is based around that we give you free stuff. That's the concept.
I know. Well, it should be also on something else. I know, like the Little Bit Games, Rise of Kingdoms had these like all these like free something. It was either at the end as a coupon code or something, and they had all these different UGC types of real actors in it, and it was actually interesting. I mean, it was cringe as fuck, but it was interesting.
You're talking about UA creators, not cringe anymore.
Yeah, I know. And like, come on, you can have like so many. I mean, these are good variations and different concepts, but again, like it feels more like a slot game, it's like social casino. All the money. Come on. This screen? Where is it?
Yes.
Okay.
That screams social casino.
Like literally thousands of diamonds dropping and then like three sevens.
It's like so like absolute social casino. Yeah, it's like in terms of like the UA, like they are kind of everywhere. And if you select like this it's all Unity, Mintegral, and uploading a little bit here and there. It's like outside of US, obviously. So US is not their main country yet. But if they want to grow on the West side, then it should be way, way, way better in terms of the. And then we have all this like fun stuff outside of US, which is basically who is this? I know. Random guy holding
random Korean guy with a sword.
Yeah,
fantasy one, by the way. It's a shit sword. No, like honestly, like those swords won't work. Like it will hurt you more than the enemy.
Wait, are you talking about the UA campaigns, or are you talking about
no? Actually, this sword that he's holding in his hands, it won't help you. You will get hurt from it. Trust me.
Yeah.
Does he look like a guy who fights with swords, bro?
Exactly. He fights
with mushrooms, I know.
Yeah, so maybe this is like special abilities. Like, you fight mushrooms, not real enemies. So, this is the crit. Yeah. All the memes.
Korean memes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, of course.
All the memes.
It works for them. So
I guess I know. Like in Korea and in Japan, for sure. I mean,
yeah, like Ken said, the Pepe Frog in the icon, it goes a long way.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean, we have all the same all the time. Like, and developers from Asia, they do well in Asia, right? And they have all the creatives because they know what works in Asia, but they don't know what works in US.
Yeah,
it's just like that's just how it is.
Yeah,
you can call me.
this applies except Forex.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Oh, well, wait a second. Oops. Ooh, wow. So, mushroom. Oh, I mean, this might work actually. In invest. Like, it's mass battles. Come on,
mass battles always work.
Definitely, yeah.
Very, very we satisfying need just to watch.
Yeah, we need more zombies. Mushroom versus zombies. Easy.
The whole game is very cute for zombies. I don't think so it would work.
Yeah. By the way, you mentioned in the beginning, there's something they changed in from Legend of Slime. It's also different art style. So.
Yeah. It's different art style.
There you go.
What's she saying? Oh, social casino.
Yeah, it's exactly. This is also social casino. Come on. PS5 on the left hand side. And
but for Asia, this isn't social casino.
Yeah, man, I remember we went to... Well, it's Unity Party. It was we have lucky draw. I was what?
Yeah, but it's normal. Because,
I know.
Asia lives by the gacha.
I know, yeah, it's true.
Can she be a bit more quiet?
There we go. Yeah, maybe. But yeah, this definitely works, but I can't imagine throwing PS5.
It's just localized there.
Yeah. But it's good. Because then they know what works. And we have these discussions always, should we just translate things to penetrate Japan or South Korea? It's no, just need to properly localize. And you need to know what kind of works there. So yeah, it's my rating won't be very generous.
So what's your rating?
I 5.
Out of 10?
Yeah.
Was there even 4. A game that went past 8 in your...
Yeah.
Which one?
Yes, I can't remember.
Really?
No, but we had definitely 8. We had definitely 8. I need to check. I need to check which
Game of War?
Game of War, no. Game of War, no. But yeah, I think gave some... I gave even 9 to some game, actually.
You gave a 9? Yeah, you gave a 9.
I gave a 9.
Okay. Felix?
4. The placements don't lead anywhere. They have ad placements, but they don't you don't need to press them. You do it if you feel like it, and it's really not worth it.
Yeah, but that's important distinction here. Even though it's so successful, it's still stuff to improve. I agree here.
But
I wouldn't do the banners anyway. My side, I would do 9 this time.
Ooh,
because this is very, very, very complex to do, where you're building on base of something else and then you're actually very heavily improving it, and these guys really heavily improving it, I think, especially with the lamp mechanic turning gacha into the idle core gameplay. I haven't seen it yet. I think this is very innovative. And then the social layer, it's kind of stitched from different things, but for me it kind of works well. I definitely agree with what Ken said, that for whales and bears kind of portion of the economy, it's not enough and they could be making more out of it. But the whole kind of farming shroom, whatever stealing mechanics and all these things, especially the map, the old school map, they have the shared space in the guild.
Yeah.
I think that's very, very nice. So for that, I definitely kind of give them that. But yeah, as Ken said, the not having price segmentation is a first grader mistake.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly,
sorry, guys.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So it cannot be 10. I'm sorry.
No, of course. But there's always a pattern. As soon as we give the game a high rate with Felix, you go it's 5. And then there's the other part, we say it's 5 or 6 or 4. Oh my god, this is so amazing. 8. You go back to those places. It's always
so
this.
True. It's so true.
I just realized we always oh my god, this could be so much better. I was oh, this is great. Which perfection. Is fair.
Come which on, he's fair. Making 2.5 million a day.
I know. Yes, that's exactly. I know.
But how long is it going to stay? That's a question.
And the second question is can you imagine how much more could they earn if they? They kind of fix these two things as well on the maybe on ads or
by the way,
UI on ads, it doesn't matter because it's just so tiny.
Yeah, one public service announcement. I don't know when we're gonna do this, but I understand there may be some people pissed because we didn't do soft launch sonar and review radar for some time now, and it's kind of due. So maybe we'll get to it at some point in a little bit more special format to look into it. Because yeah, we'll definitely keep this. We're keeping Brawl Stars very heavily on our radar from our last discussion. We'll get to that.
We see you guys.
Soon.
We see you guys. Yeah, we see you guys.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, there's a lot of interesting games being soft launch, of course, we're looking at them. At some point, we talk about them. Don't worry, we didn't forget about those. We're not going to do reviews forever from now on. So, yeah.
We're going to do reviews forever, but it's it's so many new games.
We're going to do these things on top.
Yeah. We'll see. again, thanks for listening. And then please keep subscribing. Our subscriber count on YouTube just passed 7,000, which is amazing. The total number of listeners or subscribers is around like nine something. You know, we stopped counting. It's just too many people. No, it's
no, we didn't. We appreciate you all.
Yeah, we thank you very much for the support.
And join the Slack if you want to have a heads up what we'll be reviewing the week after.
Yes, it's gonna be in the show notes. And then see you next time.
Yep.
Ciao.
Cheers.
Bye bye.
Thank you.